purport by His Divine Grace, A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami Srila Prabhupada. O my friends, sons of demons, in this material world, even those who are apparently advanced in education have the propensity to consider, this is mine and that is for others. Thus they are always engaged in providing the necessities of life to their families in a limited conception of family life. Just like uneducated cats and dogs, they are unable to take to spiritual knowledge. Instead, they are bewildered and overcome by ignorance. Purport. In human society, there are attempts to educate the human being. But for an animal society, there is no such system. Nor are animals able to be educated. Therefore, animals and unintelligent men are called vimutha, or ignorant, bewildered, whereas an educated person is called vidvan. The real vidvan is one who tries to understand his own position within this material world. For example, when Sanatan Goswami submitted to the lotus feet of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, his first question was, Ke ami kena amare jaratapi traya? In other words, he wanted to know his constitutional position and why he was suffering from the threefold miseries of material existence. This is the process of education. If one does not ask, who am I? What is the goal of my life? But instead follows the same animal propensities as the cats and dogs, what is the use of his education? As discussed in the previous verse, a living being is entrapped by his fruit of activities, exactly like a silkworm trapped in his own cocoon. Foolish persons are generally caged by their fruit of activities, karma, because of a strong desire to enjoy this material world. Such attractive persons become involved in society, community, and nation and waste their time, not having profited from having obtained human forms. And especially in this age, Kali Yuga, great leaders, politicians, philosophers, and scientists are all engaged in foolish activities, thinking this is mine and this is yours. The scientists invent nuclear weapons and collaborate with the big leaders to protect the interests of their own nation or society. In this verse, however, it is clearly stated that despite their so-called advanced education, they actually have the same mentality as the cats and dogs. As cats and dogs and other animals, not knowing their true interest of life, become increasingly involved in ignorance, the so-called educated person who does not know his own self-interest or the true goal of life becomes increasingly involved in materialism. Therefore, Prahlada Maharaj advises everyone to follow the principles of Anashram Dharma. Specifically, at a certain point, one must give up family life and take to the renounced order of life to cultivate spiritual knowledge and thus become liberated. This is further discussed in the following verses. Om Agyan Timirandasya Gina Jana Salakaya Chaksu Unmilitam Yena Tasmai Sri Gurave Namaha Sri Chaitanya Manobhistam Stabditam Yena Bhutale Swayam Rupa Kadamayam Dadati Swam Padantikam Sri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Sri Advaita Gadadhar Srivasati Gaur Bhaktivrindam Hare Krishna Hare Krishna 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 Hare 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 Ram, Hare Ram, Ram Ram, Hare Hare. So this is the chapter entitled Prahlad's Instructions to His Demoniac Schoolmates. Sometimes we say this chapter is one of the most powerful and concentrated forms of instructions on spiritual topics, because it gets right to the essence of materialism and exposes it for what it is. And here, Prahlad Maharaj, although only 5 years old, he's speaking to his friends, and his friends are schoolmates, actually, and they're demons, or at least they're sons of demons. And he's trying to somehow or other educate them before they get too much, overwhelmed by the wrong conceptions of life. And basically he's saying that education is not to somehow or other provide for your personal interests, such as your body, the extensions of your body, as your family members, your community, whatever communities you may belong to, your society, your nation. And even there's people who have such, what we say, lofty, altruistic goals in life that they try to provide for the interest of everyone in the world. The ultimate philanthropist, trying to think of how to do good to everyone. It's like now they have these organizations to trying to judge the poverty level of countries and see how to raise people out of the poverty level. Of course, their conception of raising people out of the poverty level is to provide material amenities. And that seems to be called progress, or raising one up to a better standard of living. But many times people who live in what we say more simplified lifestyles, can't say poverty level, that's something's created by the, what we say, the so-called developed countries. That's a term that is a misnomer. They can apply that wherever they want and call it poverty. But people who may be living in such poverty, or apparent in poverty, are not feeling the poverty. They're happy. They're simple. They live a different life. But our standards is we judge people by a certain, you know, level of consumption and production. And based on that, people are judged in this way or that way. So that's what we say, apparently a person who's trying to do good for everyone. Of course, they don't know how to do good, because they don't know what good is. But here, in this verse, it's interesting, because Prahlad Maharaj compares such advancement in education to just cats and dogs. He's using the statement, cats and dogs, and Prabhupada is using all the same statement throughout it. And what's the consciousness of an animal? It's just how to somehow or other, get what I need in order to live. You know, food, sex life, defense, like that. So thinking that this is mine and this is someone else's is, what we say, janasa maham yamaham mameti. It's a consciousness of illusion, mohan. The word mohan is used. It's an illusion. This is mine and this is someone else. Because nothing belongs to anyone. the simple, we hear it so many times and it sounds so simplified. But the consciousness seems to get lost in the day-to-day activities of fool. And that is, we come in with nothing and we leave with nothing. And in the middle, we're claiming this is mine. Country, body, so many other things. So the scriptures very pretty much reveal what is reality in terms of what appears to be reality. And that reality is to come to the spiritual platform and to get free from all these, what we say, material illusions, which are based on material attachments. That's all. So therefore, when we hear such purports as in Prabhupada comes on, he's apparently condemning everything, When people read Prabhupada's purports, he's just condemning everything. Well, yeah, because everything is only worth condemning. Because if you're going in the wrong direction, even if it looks good, you might have a nice, beautiful car and it's all fixed up and it goes real fast and, you're on the best of all highways. But you're going in the wrong direction, so whatever you do is all useless, right? You might stop at nice hotels, get nice food, you meet nice people, enjoy on your way. But if you're going in the wrong direction, you might say whatever you do is just a waste of time, or it's useless, right? So the whole society is geared in the wrong direction. Therefore, when Prabhupada makes this blanket condemnation, he's just showing that the whole principle of existence is misunderstood or misdirected. So based on that, whatever you build on top of a misdirected principle is all is another extension of the misdirection. That's all. Make sense? All right, so that's why when we hear such purports, it sounds like, wow, Prabhupada, he doesn't give anybody a break, does he? What about a little bit of concession here and there? I mean, people are nice people, you know? Yeah, they're nice, but they're in ignorance and they're foolish, and therefore they're acting in a way that is contrary to the best interest of themselves and others. And so when we hear such statements, we have to understand what is actually the principal rule. And what is Prahlad Maharaj talking about? He's talking about what is real education. To get away from that conception of I and mind. Because it's all based on what? The body. All I and mind is based on the body, and therefore we're not the body, so it's all an illusion, right? Ahamamati. So what is real knowledge? Well, there's two principles of knowledge. There's many principles, but two that are foundational. And the first one is, I'm not this body. Everyone knows that, right? At least theoretically. But then what's the second part of that knowledge? Because a negative statement regarding a principle of truth doesn't bring you to the proper understanding of reality. So what is the next understanding? I'm not this body. So what's the next one? Any suggestions? Guesses? I'm part and parcel of Krishna, right? But take it a little bit farther. I'm servant of Krishna. And am I servant of Krishna in this life? Oh, eternally. There you go. I'm eternally servant of Krishna. That's our identity. Now, part and parcel is, even the Mayavadis or the impersonalists know they are part and parcel of the Supreme, but they don't do any service. So that you have to take it to the point of that I'm eternally related to Krishna in loving devotional service. This is my identity. So unless that is real education, or we might say that's the foundation where a real education of a right relationship with Krishna in devotional service actually starts to develop. So therefore all aspects of the illusory energy is simply bringing people greater into the illusion, that's all. You see, if you're drowning and you have a nice crown on your head, you go down faster. That's all. So you can decorate the way you die, but you're still dying. This is material life. The Bhagavatam Dharma Projito Kaitavo. Prabhupada explains, this is the second verse in the Srimad Bhagavatam in the first canto, first chapter. Dharma projito. Projito means kicks out. And kaitavo means cheating. All forms of religion that are based on the principles of cheating. And what is that? Giving concessions to the material aspects of life and mixing it in with devotional religious principles. Karma, jnana, yoga, and various other principles that allow one to still fulfill material desires and practice some kind of form of spiritual life. But Bhagavatam doesn't touch any of that stuff. It says it's all cheating. Anything less than savai pum sam paro dharmo yato bhakti ahoksa jaya hoitu kiya priyata yayatma supersedithi. That means this is the principle where Bhagavatam starts. That the principle is that the highest welfare activity, or really the only welfare activity within society, is to render spontaneous loving devotion to the Supreme Personality of Godhead. Spontaneous means without motivation and without interruption. Ahaitukiya priyata. So that's where Bhagavatam starts. And therefore, when we hear these statements by Prahlad Maharaj, by Dhruva Maharaj, and by all the great acharyas, they simply don't give any concession to material life. And therefore here, just like it says, vidvan, what is the Prabhupada translates the word vidvan, which is the first word in the whole in a very interesting way, knowing the inconvenience of material existence. And then he adds a little decoration, especially household life. So we might say, what are they talking about? He's not talking about grihastha life. He's talking about materialistic household life. Because out of all the inconveniences that one can accept within the material energy, materialistic household life just entrenches one more and more in the illusions. It's like in, there's one verse here. It's not a verse, actually. It's three verses in one. It's a few days ago, I guess, you went through this verse. It explains how a person, I mean, this is one of my favorite verses. Can I read it? I just like it because I heard Prabhupada speak this verse in a class when I was in that class. And when Prabhupada still had the verse read, he just caused everybody to laugh so, what we say, hilariously. When he had the verse read, and then after he read the verse where Prabhupada just went with a big smile on his face. Just see. You know. So here's the verse. How can a person who is affectionate to his family, the core of his heart being always filled with their pictures, give up their association? Specifically, a wife is always very kind and sympathetic and always pleases her husband in a solitary place. Who could give up the association of such a dear and affectionate wife? Small children talk in broken language, very pleasing to hear, and their affectionate father always thinks of their sweet words. How could he give up the austere association? One's elderly parents and one's sons and daughters are also very dear. A daughter is very dear to her father, and while living at her husband's house, she is always in his mind. Who could give up that association? Aside from this, in household affairs, there are so many decorated items of household furniture, and there are also animals and servants. Who could give up such comforts? The attached householder is like a silkworm which weaves a cocoon in which it becomes imprisoned, unable to get out, simply for the satisfaction of two important senses, the genitals and the tongue. One is bound by material conditions. How can one escape? Wow. So we get this is called a reality check. The check on, this goes on. Yeah, in the day-to-day life. And people are striving to become entangled. It's amazing, because everyone is looking how to become entangled and considering that entanglement a source of happiness and freedom. And what does it get you? The best it gets you is another life, that's all. If you're lucky, you'll get a human life. Lucky. Usually that kind of entanglement causes one to glide down into the lower species of life. Because simply to maintain the body and the family and be enamored by that causes one to forget the real goal of life and forget the progress of time. As time is moving forward, the conditioned soul is oblivious to that, seeing only his attachments and how to fulfill it. And time is simply taking away his duration of life. Prabhupada was very interesting. He used language in a very philosophical way. When people would, you know, just like when we're growing up, people would say, well, how old are you? Prabhupada never used to say, how old are you? He would always say, what is your age? And when one time he said to one man in Africa, he was giving a class, he said, what is your age? The man says, 22. And Prabhupada said, you're 22 years dead. Not 22 years old. You're 20. That means 22 of your years is finished. So you just subtract that. So time is just moving one closer to the end of this body. That's all. And people say, well, I'm growing up. No, you're just giving up. Giving up your duration of life as it goes on and on. Hopefully that time is moving one closer towards the goal of life. But one in a bodily conception of life, one allusion by this concept of I and mine. And Prabhupada explains this, or Srimad Bhagavatam explains, what is this I and mine concept? He says, in the animal life, in the animal species of life, the lower, the mind concept is stronger. And in the human form, the I concept is stronger. So the I concept is, I am a man, I am a woman, I am from this country, I am educated, I'm old, I'm young, I'm this, I'm that. You know, whatever you want to attach to your misconception of I based on the body, that is the I concept. And the mind concept, we all know that. This is my wife, this is my children, this is my car, this is my, this is my country, this is my nation, these are my fellow compatriots, these are my troops in Afghanistan, you know. My, you know, it's like I and mine. It just goes on, and you can just extend it as long as you can extend, you know, your life, just adding to the mind concept. So this is all, and the Bhagavatam says, Janasa moham yamaham ameti. It's all illusion. So to come to the real platform is to come to the spiritual platform and to be free from this concept. To have a theoretical understanding of spiritual principles in terms of identity is the basis for moving towards realized understanding. Theory helps us to move in the right direction. When we find ourselves stuck, or what we say, to choose between serving Krishna and serving our bodies and minds, we have to take care of the body and mind. That is obvious, because the soul is in the body. So the body is important because the soul is there. Prabhupada used to say, why is the body dear to the living being? Because I'm in it, that's why. But it's simply a place where the soul resides and where the soul can practice its devotional life. But to come to to get out of the bodily conception of life means to engage in devotional service and cultivate the difference between what is knowledge and what is ignorance, or what is based on the body and what is based on spiritual practice. And as we do that, we find ourselves being challenged. How much time should I give to this body? How much needs should I cater to the body? And how much should I give to Krishna? So it actually comes down to choosing that. And when we, the more we choose Krishna consciousness, the more we can detach ourselves from the bodily concern. Even when the body is going through difficult times, diseased, or maybe, you know, some mental or physical calamity is happening, one can be free from the reactions or the effects of such things as one stays within the conscious of cultivating one's understanding of oneself in relationship to Krishna through the process of serving the Lord in devotion, like that. So that's the real test for devotees. Devotees know, we all know, I'm not this body. And we also know I'm Krishna's part and parcel. But we're challenged to choose from day to day where we want to place our emphasis, or how we're going to proportion our, how much time we're going to give to Krishna, how much time we're going to give to Maya. That's the real choice. If we say, I'm not this body, but at the same time we're giving so much time, attention, and care to the body, then it seems to be contradictory, yes? So we have to balance it. Everyone has to know. Therefore, the scriptures say, do the minimum or do the needful, but use your time, energy, and resources to cultivate real spiritual knowledge, and as mentioned here. So Prahlad Maharaj's statements go right to the source. They really bring out the principles. Jai Sisi Radha Gokulananda Ki Jai Sitaram Lakshman Hanuman Gornitai Ki Jai. So he's instructing his schoolmates. He's not saying, oh, you're just little kids, you know, you guys grow up first and then I'll give you some good instructions later. No. These are only 5 years old. They're all his same age. And he says, and he's instructing them in the highest spiritual principles at such a young age. Why? And this is very important to understand for those who have children, that education starts from the womb. That's where education starts. Because when you plant this, the earlier that seed is planted, the stronger that seed will be when it grows. There was a nice story where this happened in Chaupati in Bombay with Radhanath Maharaj. He wanted to get a kadamba tree. Now, the kadamba trees were in Vrindavan. So devotees had brought three different sized kadamba trees to the devotees in Chaupati, and they showed it to Radhanath Maharaj. One was like a couple weeks old, one was a few months old, and one was even more older. So they asked Maharaj, which one do you want? So he said, well, I'll take the biggest one because, you know, that one's already developed so much. But then some of the devotees said, no, Maharaj, actually don't take that one. Take the smallest one because when you put that smallest one in the ground, the roots are still young yet. It'll take firm grasp. The other ones, the other roots are also been transplanted. So that root won't take to the ground as stronger as the other tree. So take the youngest one, and that'll grow up to be the strongest of all one. So that was a lesson in reality, that when you plant the seeds, the roots of our spiritual life develop stronger when those seeds are planted in the earliest times of life like that. Unfortunately, many of us are trying to catch up, right? We get a late start. But by Lord Chaitanya's mercy, it's never too late. That's the point. Special mercy in this age. But here, this is knowledge. And transcendental knowledge, at least this is preliminary transcendental knowledge, to understand the difference between the body and the soul and the difference between, you know, what is actually mine and what is actually not mine. So in this material world, there's nothing that is we can call mine, because everything is given to us in relationship to the body, and everything is taken away in relationship to the body. So this is education. This is real education. And Prabhupada ends the purport by saying, here, therefore one should follow the system of vanashram and follow a progressive system of detachment. Vanashram allows one to execute one's devotional service within their ashram, following the rules and regulations. And what are these rules and regulations? It's meant to detach us from sense gratification. And each of the ashrams have their rules and regulations. So cultivation of spiritual life means within the ashram and following the principles of that ashram. And therefore one can develop detachment. Even though one may be surrounded by, you know, material things and materialistic activities, one can develop detachment. And then ultimately, Prabhupada said, and then everyone must give up family life and take to the renounced order of life in the final stages of one's life. And that is the, what we say, culmination of the Vanashram system, that at the end it's just you and Krishna, that's all. It makes it easy. So it's a gradual, what we say, relinquishing of material attachments and developing what we say Krishna consciousness. Of course, Prabhupada gave us Daivi Vanashram, immediately engage in devotional service and develop full detachment, even in household life. Okay, any questions, comments?